Hello, welcome to another online church service for this week, another Sunday where we find ourselves engaging together in God's Word, but from our lounge rooms. Well, I wonder, have you found this week challenging? I know I have. Our church family, we farewelled Moira this week. We've been shocked and devastated and saddened by the news of Simon's tragic passing, and here we are again in lockdown 6.0, only 10 days after finishing our previous lockdown. Friends, it's been a really big week, it's been a hard week, and so I just want to remind us and encourage us that we do have a God who loves us, and to encourage us to reach out to God and to pray and to share and bring your grief and your pain and your hurt to Him, because He does love us and He does care for us. But friends, if there's also someone that you can reach out to, either to check in on or to reach out for yourself, whether that's a family member or a friend, someone from your life group or me or someone else, then I encourage you to do that as well. It's good for us to remember that we are a church family and that we can support each other and pray to our great God together. Well, let me do that. Let me pray for us now, and then we'll get into our passage for this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, as we come to your word now and as we come to the book of Philippians, God, we just pray that you'll remind us of your love for us. We pray that we'll be reminded of your comfort and your assurance as we seek to understand Philippians 2 now. God, please transform us through your word. Help us to live like Christ, to live lives of obedience to you, so that we might become blameless and pure and shine like stars in your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, when I was a child growing up in country Victoria, I didn't really have any heroes. I didn't have any role models that I looked up to. I lived in a town that was very sport-centric, but I wasn't really into sport. So when other kids were collecting footy cards and talking about their favourite footy heroes, I was collecting Disney Lion King cards. But there was one school project I did and it really stood out to me. I was about 8 years old and we were learning about World War I. And so I was researching Simpson and his donkey. And I made this poster and I was really proud when this poster was chosen to be hung at the RSL Hall for Remembrance Day. I was captivated by the story of this Anzac hero. John Simpson Kirkpatrick, as a 22-year-old, found himself at Anzac Cove on the 25th of April, 1915. And this is a story of a soldier who rescued wounded men at Gallipoli. And he used a small donkey to carry injured soldiers down from the front line. He didn't carry a gun himself, but was exposed to gunfire. And he was shot and died less than 4 weeks after arriving at Anzac Cove. This soldier was brave, he was courageous, he worked enthusiastically, he showed mateship, and as I learnt about him and his sacrifice, he quickly became a hero to me. Someone I looked up to, someone I wanted to be like. Well, as we come to the second part, well, the second half of Philippians chapter 2 this morning, I share this story about Simpson because what Paul is doing in this passage is he is lifting up to the Philippians people that Paul thinks is worthy of being a hero, people that Paul thinks are worthy of imitating. Well, just to recap for us, what we've seen so far in the book of Philippians is that for Paul, the gospel of Jesus Christ is central. It's the reason why Paul is so thankful for the Christians at Philippi. They have shared in God's grace with Paul and partnered in gospel ministry with him. That's the first part of chapter 1. The life that Paul exhorts his dear friends, the Philippian Christians, to live is a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's chapter 1, verse 27. In fact, it is in the book of Philippians that Paul uses the word gospel more than in any other letter he writes. He's all about the gospel. And when Paul focuses in on the center of the gospel, as we heard last week, he looks to the person and work of Jesus Christ. In the Christ hymn, we see Christ's humility and obedience stressed in selfless service. This first half of chapter 2, this idea that the gospel is central for Paul, the idea of Christ's humility, I want us to keep the Christ hymn at the forefront of our minds as we take a closer look at the rest of Philippians chapter 2. Today we're going to focus on two things. Firstly, we're going to focus on what Paul wants the Philippians to be like, and secondly, who Paul wants the Philippians to behave like. We're looking at what kind of behaviours Paul is exhorting us to, and who are role models or Christians that we can try to be like. So we're looking at what and who. Well, as I read through this first section, I'm going to read for us verses 12 to 18. They'll come up on the screen for you. And as I read through them, I want you to try to pick up the characteristics, try to pick out the behaviours that Paul is encouraging the Philippians to be like. I'll read for us from verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I wonder what you noticed in this section. What stood out to you in what Paul wants us to do or not do, as the case may be? Well, firstly, he instructs the Philippians and us to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, on its own, this instruction sounds a bit scary. It almost sounds like we need to earn our salvation, that it isn't a gift of grace from God. And live in constant fear that we might not have done enough to earn our salvation. But hang on, that doesn't even fit with the next bit that tells us that God is working in us. Well, it's helpful here if I point out a Greek word for us. The Greek word that we have here translated as work out, as in to work out your salvation, perhaps a more fully translation, a more fully translated word might be, instead of work out, it might be as to continually work to bring something to completion. So the idea of more of a process. So for Paul here, he is not using the word salvation to only refer to that first moment of repentance, or when you first become a believer, start believing in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Rather, for Paul here, salvation is a larger journey. It's an ongoing process of believing and becoming more like Jesus. Or, as Romans 8:29 puts it, being conformed to the image of God's Son. We are working out our salvation when we are living in the Spirit, that's Romans 8 again, or when we are pressing on towards the goal of Christ-likeness. That's Philippians chapter 3 coming up soon. And to do this with fear and trembling, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, is to have an attitude of awe and reverence and respect for God's majesty and holiness. Can you hear the active role that we play in this? We're not simply passengers on our faith journey. No, certainly God working in us is a huge encouragement, but we are also actively to pursue obedience in our process of becoming more like Jesus, of living with Christ, with God's help. I can almost hear the conversation that might have gone on between Paul and the Philippian Christians had Paul not been in chains and if he'd been able to visit them. Paul saying, "I know you obey God. Keep going, friends. Keep living in the Spirit, working out your salvation." And then the Philippians, "But how? Haven't you heard that we're being oppressed and attacked?" And then Paul saying, "This is what I want you to be like. This is how you work towards having the mindset of Christ. You do everything without grumbling or arguing. You work towards being blameless and pure. You shine like stars. You hold firmly to the word of life." The Philippian Christians were experiencing opposition from those outside the church at Philippi. That's why Paul refers to the culture around the church of Philippi as a warped and crooked generation, using an Old Testament phrase from Deuteronomy. But not only were they experiencing external challenges, there was also some disunity from within the church. They were experiencing some kind of internal division. There was complaining and grumbling, as we're told in verse 14. Well, why does it matter that there's grumbling and arguing within the Philippian church? What's at stake for Paul if the Philippians keep on grumbling and arguing? Do you remember what's central for Paul? Well, it's the gospel. And so for Paul, what's at stake here is the gospel being proclaimed at Philippi. Paul is saying that the proclamation of the gospel is under threat. Because if they keep on with their internal bickering, then they are focused inwards on themselves instead of outwards. And if they keep up with this, then they will not become blameless and pure, like in verse 15. And if they're not working towards being blameless and pure, then they will not be shining like stars. Do you see it in verse 15? "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." The "them" is the people and culture outside of the church at Philippi. Friends, grumbling and complaining and arguing can effectively hinder us bringing forth the gospel. Churches can be so focused on internal faults that they're not shining out to the world. They're too busy focused inwards on internal bickering. One commentator puts it like this: "We can hardly shine like stars if we are rolling in the mud and muck of spite or rumours or lies or arguing. Instead of complaining and arguing, we are to become blameless and pure, or live as God's children. Have the mindset of Jesus. Shine in our conduct and in our words, and in living as God's people in a dark world." Well, I wonder if you can see the overall flow of Paul's thinking. Just to backtrack slightly, in chapter 1, verse 27, Paul urges the Philippian Christians to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who's at the centre of the gospel? Well, Jesus is. Jesus, who had everything and gave everything, who emptied himself and thought of us rather than himself. Living a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus means to have the same mindset as Jesus, to be like Jesus. And we do that by working out our salvation so that we shine like stars in our words and actions and living for God. So the gospel is brought forth. Well, that's where we've got to so far. Paul now goes on to hold up to the Philippians two men who embody this, who have the mindset of Jesus Christ, who the Philippians can honour and model their own lives on. Paul uses Timothy and Epaphroditus as models of men who live their lives worthy of the gospel of Jesus. I won't read the whole next section out for us. In verses 19 to 24, it'll pop up on your screen for you. In verses 19 to 24, we hear about Timothy. And then in verses 25 to 30, we hear about Epaphroditus. Can you scan through the verses and see what Paul finds commendable? Firstly, we'll see, what does Paul find commendable about Timothy? Well, verse 20, Timothy shows genuine concern for the welfare of the Philippians. Rather than looking to his own interests, Timothy is a living example of someone who looks out for the interests of others, because that's what Jesus does. So that's Timothy, very briefly. What about Epaphroditus? We don't know much about Epaphroditus. He's only mentioned here. We do know that he is a messenger. He probably brought a message and a gift to Paul from the Philippians, but also he himself was a gift to Paul in caring for Paul. However, while he was with Paul, he became so seriously ill that he almost died. Verse 30 tells us that Epaphroditus put his own life at risk to help Paul. In doing this, he shows both that he is willing to die for the work of Christ, i.e. gospel ministry, and also that he places the interests of others above his own in caring for Paul. Well, these men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, they built their lives on the example of Jesus. They're willing to serve Jesus in great difficulty. They're devoted to the interest of others first, even at personal cost. They're committed to the work of Christ, the proclamation of the gospel. They are models of what it means to love and to serve Jesus by looking to the needs of others above their own. Paul is naming them, he's exalting them, and showing that they are exactly how the Philippian Christians and us are meant to be. Not simply, what does a godly life look like, but who does a godly life look like Timothy and Epaphroditus? These are the sorts of people that God wants us to be like, to imitate. The disposition of Christian people is that we are to have the disposition of Christ, to be like the Lord Jesus, to have a genuine interest in the welfare of others. A focus on others and their interests is what is to make us tick, to be willing to sacrifice our own interests for others. These men were like their Lord. Let's be like them. Well, I started today talking about someone that I looked up to and honoured as a child. Simpson was a hero in my mind. And we've landed looking at Christians that Paul knows are worthy of imitating as they imitate Christ. Rather than grumbling and arguing, they value others above themselves in humility, not looking to their own interests, but to the interests of others. Friends, do you know Christians who strive to live like this? Christian men and women that you honour and imitate? We're fortunate enough to have some folk like this in our own church family. Our life together must be based on the love and humility we see in Christ Jesus. And this love and humility must be demonstrated in our attitudes towards each other as we consider each other better than ourselves. We must have nothing to do with selfishness or empty conceit or grumbling or arguing. Instead, our interests must be in God's great purposes in Christ, so that our life together conforms to the image of Christ, so that we are being like-minded and shining like stars in our passion for gospel proclamation. A bit of a health check for doing this is to think about how you respond when you feel uncomfortable about something in our church family, when you would like something to be different, or when you want someone to act in a different way or say something else instead. How will you respond? How will you speak? How will you approach another? How will you deal with that feeling uncomfortable within yourself, will you be willing to have the mindset of Christ and keep other people's interests at heart rather than your own? How are we serving the interests of others and living like Christ? Friends, let's think of this as we approach our life together, to have the mindset of Jesus. Let's decide to do this together, on our own, amongst each other, and with each other. Amen.